Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host Scott and back with me again is my good friend and co-host Dan. And we've had a little rest, reset and managed to catch the flu as always is the case when you stop for a second. But we are now ready and raring to go into our fourth year of existence.
Yeah, 4 years. It's flown by. Has it flown by for you? It feels like it has for me.
Last year was a blink.
Yeah, honestly, it went by so fast. I mean, we're both very much looking forward to what this new year will bring. Like we said on our last video at the end of last year, we've got big plans for 2023 and can't wait for all of you guys watching and listening to also be a part of it.
Yes, absolutely. So on our very first episode of this podcast for 2023, we thought the best thing to do was look forward to the whole year as a whole and preview British swimming and world swimming and what kind of status it is in and going to be in, with probably a few bold predictions littered throughout this podcast, as always is the case with propulsion swimming. Now, Dan, before we get into looking ahead and predicting the next year of swimming, I thought we could have a little review of propulsion swimming for 2022, because we said it went by in a blink, but it was a massive, massive year for us. We could very easily take a look at what the numbers of subscribers, followers, or views are on YouTube or Instagram. But while those numbers have increased dramatically over the last 12 months, actually none of our goals we set ourselves here at Propulsion Swimming are really based around figures. So instead, why don't we have a look back at what we've achieved actually as a channel? And I'm going to kick things off with the podcast last year. We managed to get on the most successful GB Olympic swimmer in Duncan Scott.
That was great,
that
right?
That was a mighty good episode, and he's a very nice man to speak to.
Yeah, no, the one thing I remember from that is that, because that was back in the day where we were kind of questioning, like, oh, is distance swimming good? Is it fun? Is it needed? That's the mentality we had, right?
He told you off.
And he called me out, and I was like, well, okay, fair play. And actually, we've almost flipped our mind around saying, actually, distance swimming is actually really exciting. I don't know if Duncan has helped that in some sort of way. We saw him cheering on Dan Whiffen at Edinburgh for the Winter Nationals. That was big, obviously. That was a fantastic episode. It's one of my favourites, and he's such a great person, such dry humour, which I can relate to quite well, I feel. Another big thing, which where I wasn't actually involved, was we covered the three major meets because I was on holiday and we were doing recap videos. I thought that worked really, really well.
We. It's quite funny when you say we. Somehow we managed to cover Worlds, we managed to cover Commonwealth Games and European Championships with a nightly video, recap posts. And that nightly video was a good like 5-6 minutes long while I'm holding down a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It was pretty good going, to be fair.
Somehow managed to do that. Admittedly, the long form videos on YouTube have paused since then while I've got some energy back. That took a lot. We obviously spoke to a lot of the swimmers. It took a lot out of them. That took a hell of a lot out of me, but we learned a lot, especially moving forwards with Worlds this year. And then the year after that is Olympics.
Yep.
We learned some massive lessons to that, and I think I'm really glad that we managed to cover the sport in that way, in a kind of a fast-paced recap video way, even without being able to get our hands on the footage, which I know people still comment on the videos, just like, where's the clips of these actual races? I'd love to have them.
Yeah.
100% would love to have them. But actually, something I'm really proud of as well last year was that we were at poolside for our first competition. We've been doing this for 3 straight years. We have been in our bedrooms for most of the time, like we said on our Q&A video. We've been putting things together on here, and we actually got the experience of going poolside at the London Aquatic Centre to see Sprint with the Stars in person and capture that raw poolside experience. And just being able to share that raw footage is something that swimming's missing in this country.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And it wasn't just Sprint with the Stars as well. It was obviously with the Speedo sponsorship as well that we managed to get for our podcast series. We'd be on poolside in Swansea, in Edinburgh, and in Ponds Forge Wild in Sheffield. It's different. It's so much different being poolside than it is looking through a screen, like we said on the Q&A. The feeling of the atmosphere being on poolside and then having coaches, swimmers come up to us saying that we're doing a good job, or we get to cheer them on poolside, you know, to see swimmers doing amazing swims at Ponds Forge or Swansea or wherever it was. It makes a big difference, and it's a big aim of ours to be on poolside at as many meets as we can be available for, you know, job permitting, obviously, and time permitting. But that is the ultimate aim, really, to try and be on poolside as much as possible to get this raw footage, which I don't think anyone else is really doing. And I think we should try and push that as long as, like we say, the jobs and the time is allowing.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's very much a case of, like, swimming can be watched on a live stream, but you just don't get the emotion that is involved in swimming by seeing that. Mm. And putting it, like, I'm going to be honest, the biggest thing last year with my change of mentality in swimming and what we are doing as a whole came on our conversation with John Bailey, who's now leading
growing the sport,
and he's now leading the way that FINA are kind of the direction they're heading in with social media and coverage. I was a massive campaigner for getting swimming on TV, and I thought, that's the answer. Let's get it on BBC. I don't want it anywhere near television now. I want people in the stands, actually there, actually on poolside, experiencing it, seeing what it's like to be at a swim meet, because Birmingham 2022, the atmosphere on that poolside, all the swimmers said that was the best they've ever felt. And if we can showcase meets through short form content, through capturing shots like we have at Winter Nationals, like we have at Sprint with the Stars, where it is close, you can see the personal connection to the actual race itself, you can really feel the emotion more than a live stream, and it gets people poolside and paying for tickets, that for me is a direction swimming should be heading in. It really doesn't need to be on TV. I don't think that's the answer.
No, selling tickets is the ultimate sort of aim to get people involved in swimming a little bit more. If swimming was going to be videoed, you'd want it to be almost like Match of the Day type style. You see, like, the quick highlights. That's what I think people tune in more. They're not going to watch a 90-minute football match, and you're not going to watch a two-hour swim session. You're not going to stay that long because you just want to watch the goals, or you just want to watch your two-minute segment of swimming. That's pretty much what you want, right? And of course, the short-form format is the best way of doing that, rather than trying to cut up little tiny bits of a two-hour session. It makes a world of a difference. And so that's the aim, to try and be poolside, to be as close to the action as possible, because you saw the reactions that we got. There was a brilliant reaction of what we got in Swansea of one swimmer who was in lane 8, and he obviously got a great time through his time. And so, quick camera change, and it was just incredible. And stuff like at Ponds Forge, when you got the shot of the girl dancing behind the block, stuff like that, you would never see that on telly, would you? And it's this kind of shots that actually, I think, sell swimming a little bit more. So hopefully that will continue.
So Dan, out of everything we did last year, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Was there anything that was your favourite and potentially you want to do again moving forward?
In terms of me, I suppose being on the camera doing a stroke analysis, it was my first stroke analysis on the channel, and I did one of David Popovich's freestyle. I kind of want to do that again, but not just for freestyle. It'll be for, let's say, Dressel's Fly or Milak's Fly or Sarah Socham's Front Crawl or something like that. Or maybe actually Schoonmaker, how we pronounce that name, which I'm going to have to get right, her breaststroke, because it's not the standard breaststroke that you kind of see. It's not textbook, is it? So I'd kind of love to break that down and do more race reviews, basically. Try and get more content out there of showing or showcasing the best swimmers on the planet.
Absolutely. For me, we've just discussed all of it, being poolside, actually capturing that stuff is, I don't know, it's why I picked up a camera in the first place. At no point when we started this journey did I think that was the direction we were going to head down. I thought, tutorials, this is the way to grow a YouTube channel. It's not about growing a channel anymore for me. It's about loving the sport. That's what it is, and capturing the sport. That's it. That's literally it. It's not about growing a channel.
Yeah, it's not growing the channel. It's growing the sport. I'd love the fact that swimming is as big as it can be. I mean, we've just, you know, I'm a darts fan, and our darts is big over Christmas. And you just see how much publicity it gets. If we can get, not to that sort of level, that'd be incredible. But, you know, to that sort of atmospheric level, that would be incredible.
Mm. Okay, Dan, that rounds up 2022. But let's shift gears slightly and look forward to 2023. Now, it's not going to be as hectic as last year because there isn't three major competitions, thank God. Yeah. There is just the one in World Championships, which are in Japan, which it's going to have some ramifications for British swimming, but we'll get to that later on. There are other meets in this country that we are going to cover extensively, and I'm just going to list them through for now, which is Bucks, which I believe is February sort of time.
February, mid-February, yep.
Yep. So obviously last year, Mehdi Harris broke out at Bucks, so strong swims there, always in Sheffield. You've got the Arena League final, which me and Dan, Arena League was one of our favourite. Well, back when we were swimming, it was Speedo League. It was very much one of our favourite competitions, team competition. The final for that is in Cardiff in March. We are trying to get poolside for that one, but that very much depends on Dan's wedding and how things are going in the lead up to that. There is the Edinburgh International also in March, which is the... Is it the last? It's the last big open meet really before British Champs. It is where all of the British swimming squad are going to be heading up to, I believe.
Yeah, to try and get themselves ready for Champs, effectively. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Then we've got British Champs, which are taking place again in Sheffield. A brilliant pool for them to be taking place. Then we've got the summer meets of the Mare Nostrum series. You've got the AP International for the first time happening at the London Aquatic Centre. And while, yes, we are good friends with the AP family, they're not sponsoring me to say this. Get your tickets now. Just do it. Because heats, I believe, are £1, £2 to see a heat swim. If you really want to spend some money and really get poolside, there are poolside tickets as well. So you can literally be where... Think Sprint with the Stars footage that we created. You're there. That's where we were sat. You can get that sort of view for the racing.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you say close, I mean, it's literally like 3 meters away from the water. I mean, you're very much able to dive in it if you jump. That's how close
you
are.
You'll get splashed.
So, yeah, you'll get splashed. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a great meet. Some of the best swimmers in the country are going to be there. So definitely get your tickets if you're interested, of course.
Yeah, not sponsored. Promise you that is not a sponsored plug. Then later on in the year, you've got the three kind of, I'd call them the three big competitions. There's European Juniors, which we always try and highlight the best of junior swimming and British swimming. There are the Para Worlds in Manchester, another high quality meet that is happening on home soil this year. And then there is obviously World Championships happening in Fukuoka in Japan.
I'm glad you got that pronunciation right.
So, Dan, with all of those competitions, what I thought we'd do on this podcast is name the British swimmers we are looking forward to over the next 12 months. And there's obviously the big name stars.
Yep.
But I'm going to ask you to pick out some breakout swimmers that you're looking forward to.
Some breakout swimmers. I think because we've had a few retirees, there's a chance for other swimmers to come through and break out. And I'm talking about, let's say you've had Molly Renshaw retire, you've had Sarah Vasey retire, which means there's a bit of a gap in the breaststroke field on the women's side. So I'm really looking forward to see what Lily Booker does. And she's not just a strong breaststroker, she's actually a really strong IM swimmer as well. And I know you've got Freya Colbert who's there, and Casey Shanahan who's coming through on the IM front. So we've actually got very strong IM swimmers coming through. But I think this might be Lily Booker's year on the breaststroke front, especially that 200. She's got a very nice smooth stroke. So I'm hoping that she makes her way through the ranks and actually is on a international team soon, hopefully this year.
So for me, Dan, I have two names that I've circled and I am paying very close attention to this year. So we know very much that the 4x2 heading into Paris is going to be GB's, or one of GB's strongest gold medal hopes. And one guy who I think is making a solid run to be part of that team is Jack McMillan up in Stirling. He's obviously now training partner to Duncan Scott. At the Scottish Winter Nationals, he finished a very close second to the gold medal returning to form Matt Richards. He also looks very impressive after his move to Millfield. But for me, I think Jack has a really... Do you know what? It's really hard for me at this moment in time to tell you who would be the two guys swimming the individual. So it's very easy to go Duncan Scott, Tom Dean. But actually, Jack McMillan this winter has swam very, very well. And if he wants to be part of that Paris relay squad, this could well be the summer for him to lay a marker down.
I am going to agree with you that he's got a great chance of being on the relay team. I mean, I think it's almost half guaranteed that he makes the top sort of six. I think they take the extra two for the heats, I would say. So I think he's on the team on that respect. I think he's got a great chance of being top four, which obviously would be his main aim. To be getting an individual event race for the 200 free to get ahead of Duncan and Tom. That's tough. I mean, I think those boys are getting close to like 143 standards. That's why I think they could be going at Worlds or Paris.
You do also have Matt Richards returning to some very incredible form. Yeah. Actually, I think Jimmy Guy won the 200 free over in Rotterdam earlier on, or at the back end of 2022. He beat Tom Dean. So, yeah, just every champ. So I always look forward to the 200 freestyle. I'm quietly kind of penciling it in my calendar to try and be in Sheffield on that day. I'm very much watching it. But the other name for me who broke out last year, and I think she's going to shoot into stardom this year, is Freya Colbert. With the opening that there is in the 400 IM, of which it's an open door for Freya Colbert to qualify and swim well in, but the 200 free, the 400 free, we saw what Dave Hemmings has done for Abbey Wood. I think he's very much doing the same for Freya Colbert right now.
Yeah, she's one of those swimmers that could go even higher. She can go to 500. She could even go to 800 potentially as well. So you've got the 2, 4, and 8, and then
I think she'll stick at the 4. IM. For me, sticks at the 4.
Yeah, I agree. I think the 400 is her distance, and there, in terms of British swimming, there are open doors for her at the moment. The 400 IM, the 400 free. I mean, she's probably the first pick on both. Casey Shanahan might have a say on the 400 IM, maybe, but definitely she's one to look out for, and one that I suppose she has already broken out, being a medalist, obviously, which we've already spoken about briefly on the podcast. She will, I think, continue. I think she'll continue with this medal hunt. I know Worlds is a different level because you then have the Americans and the Chinese and Aussies come in, so medaling might be quite difficult. But if she can final against those girls and race them and gain that experience, then only bodes well for Paris, I think. And then for relays as well, of course.
Now, while we're talking relays, I actually think there's a really strong group of swimmers coming through on the 100 backstroke for men's. So previously, it kind of has been a little bit of a weaker link for British swimming. That 100 backstroke at the start of a 4x1 medley relay. Luke Greenbank is very much a 200 meter backstroker. He is world class. And yes, he is the best we have in this country at 100 backstroke, but he's not Ryan Murphy. And it always has been a little bit of a sticking point for this relay. And coming through right now is the likes of Jonathan Adam, Johnny Marshall, Matthew Ward at Kelly. He's still very young, but there are some 18, 19-year-olds who maybe this is the year we start seeing times drop and build a bit of confidence leading into the Paris trials.
I think it's actually quite an open event all of a sudden. I know Luke and probably Brody actually are the top two, but actually when you...
Joe Litchfield,
yeah. The names that you've mentioned, though, the ones that could potentially break through, the fact that they are then bringing the competition to the guys already at the top will hopefully push them on further as well. So overall, I just think it's a brilliant sort of situation to be in. The more people competing for those two spots or whatever only brings out better performances, you know?
Yeah, if I remember, European Juniors last year, I think you're allowed like 4 guys in the heats, 2 guys in the semifinals, as it is at like European Seniors. So British Swimming took 4 guys for the 100 back, and all 4 of them would have qualified for the semifinals and I believe the final as well, had they all been allowed to go through. So there is really that young core of 100 backstrokers coming through that I am very much looking forward to. Dan, any other swimmers from you or from your end that you are looking forward to in 2023?
I mean, there is quite a few, but I'm going to go with the one that I think will really break up massively, I think, from this year, and that's Kianna McInnes. She did go to Europeans and Commonwealth Games last year, but I think this year, with the chance of representing GB at the World Championships, I do think she will qualify for that in the 200-meter fly. You've got Laura Stevens. Alice Thomas has now retired, and I think Kianna will then take that second spot or top spot, depending how well she does. I think she's got all of the elements to be able to be a world-class 200 flyer, and I'm really excited to see how she does.
Yeah, I'd throw the 100 in there as well. I think that one is a very open event. I think we'll see where she's at in the first meet of the year that we said to look out for. Bucks, she swam very well at Bucks last year. Let's see what she does in February this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then obviously she'll be racing at Edinburgh as well, and then that's also a good gauge for then what she will do at Champs. And obviously Ponds Forge is a pretty fast pool, so that's where she's going to be at her best, I imagine. And if she is she gets onto the team, then that's a valuable experience that she's going to get with Olympics effectively a year out after Champs is over.
Okay, Dan, so the bigger question then, how do we think British swimming is going to perform at Worlds this summer, with it being the only major competition? Obviously, we're still 6-7 months out from this competition. This is some very early predictions. How do you think the squad could perform on the other side of the world in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, we're very much guessing how well they're going to do. we need a magic eight ball, don't we? It's an interesting one because obviously Paris is the main aim, and that's a year out, isn't it? So, of course, they don't want to be swimming as fast as possible at Worlds because they then want to put all of their effort into Paris, of course. Mm. So they might use Worlds as almost like a trial run to see if the block that they've been doing has worked, if that makes sense. So I'm not really amazing times. Yeah, I don't know. It's quite a weird one, this one.
Yeah, I actually, going into this podcast and looking through our notes, I've written down that it could be dangerously quiet for British swimming. And by that, I mean, the Americans and Australians are always going to go big for it. And being Worlds, they always perform well. British swimming, for me, never actually target Worlds. I actually think we always target Olympics. So you could see the likes of Freya Anderson, Freya Colbert, Abby Woods, Katie Shanahan, Kathleen Dawson-Back, Mehdi Harris. You could see them having quite a quiet summer. It's going to be a 3-year Olympic cycle. I can see the squad almost, not saying it's irrelevant, but I can see them taking a smaller squad. I can see them not really focusing too much on medals, with the exceptions of Adam Peaty, who's going to want to show his back. Ben Proud is always going to swim well. I can see star names being star names, but maybe not too many breaking out. Like maybe no new medals. Does that make sense?
It's a difficult one because the qualifying time is actually quite difficult to hit. So I'm not sure if British swimming have done that on purpose a little bit. I don't know, because they then want to take a smaller squad, you know? But then if you take a smaller squad, then what would then be the major meet for the top swimmers that don't make it to Worlds? I suppose it then be nationals, I guess. So
men or swimmers?
I suppose so, but I don't know. It's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one. I mean, the 3-year cycle has thrown everyone out, obviously, but that obviously affects everyone. It's a really difficult one. We're guessing, obviously, but I'm very much on the fence of how well we do. I'd love us to do amazing, obviously, and have loads of breakout swimmers going and attending the Worlds, but I'm not quite sure if we want to take a big team. I'm not sure.
With it being British swimming, I'm going to say the focus will be on high-performing relays and everything else is a bonus.
I mean, possibly. I mean, your superstars will do well, obviously. Your Adams, your Duncans, your Toms. And then the relays. I think that relays are now a big factor when it comes to British swimming. The fact that we're doing so well and actually beating the big guns in America, Australia.
You can see that in the funding announcement, kind of who got the elite funding. A lot of them were relay swimmers. Without being rude, a lot of them are going to be key cogs in relays, and they got the highest funding.
Yeah, and again, it's to keep the longevity up in those swimmers, because we want our relays to continue to perform, obviously, don't we? So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Not sure how it's going to go, but hopefully lots of people hit the qualification time and then give British swimming no choice but to take them, you know? But they are hard times to hit. They are hard times this year.
Okay, let's move on then to the international scene. So which swimmers are we looking forward to next year?
Loads. where should we start? Should we start with the female swimmers? I've got a handful of female swimmers I really want to see. I think Tori Husser's getting better and better every year. Her 100 fly, I know you don't really like her tactic of going out too strong and then fading off towards the end, but I really like it. She really does attack the race. It's brave on 100 fly, definitely, but I think because of that tactic, she has a small chance of getting that world record on 100 fly, so I'd watch out for her. Other names, I mean, you've got the classic Ledecky, Titmus, and McIntosh. Like, showdown in the 400 free, which is definitely the biggest race of the entire year for the next 5 years, potentially. That's a huge race every time that they meet. Malu Callahan, throw her in every sprint event at the moment. And then Ruta Melitite was the other name that I'd written down because she broke a world record in the 50 breaststroke short course. And she is just, I don't know what she's done, but she's come back and all cylinders are firing. Every time she gets in the pool, the reactions aren't quite as quick as what they were back in 2012, admittedly, but she's still
good.
She's still the fastest off the block, absolutely, without question. And because of that, she then gets into the front and the stroke rate is so high. I thought Pilato would be the one to watch for the next however many years, but actually Ruta's come back and, I don't know, overtaking her a little bit. So watch out for her. And it's not just the 50, it's the 100 as well.
Is there a chance she gets the world record then? In either of
those? For the 100. For the 50, I think she's got a better chance in the 50 than the 100. The 100 breaststroke time for women is like 64 low or something ridiculous like that. Lily King. That's tough. That's a really quick time. The 50 breaststroke, I think she's got a chance. I think she could do it, potentially, yeah.
Is that a yes, Dan?
I'm going to go for a yeah. I think she's going to do it.
Okay, then on the I'll cover the male bases then. So you've obviously got the superstar in David Popovich. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does with just the one major competition last year. I know we said the Brits had a tough schedule, but this guy did Worlds, he did European Juniors, European Seniors, and then went over and did World Juniors over in Peru. I think it was in Lima.
Yeah.
So he had a massive busy schedule, went completely undefeated in the 100 and 200 freestyle. I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does in the 200, kind of with just a one major competition. I think a bit more rested, he could really fly. The head-to-head between him and Chalmers is going to be really interesting in the 100 free. I think Chalmers is getting back to full fitness, full force. I think the short course swim at Worlds was just mind-boggling, how he beats a field that world-class by that far.
Yep.
I hope Dressel is back in the water this year, but if he isn't, I'm not going to be disappointed because I think there are some mental health things going on there. I'd be very happy to see him take a break. If I'm perfectly honest, I'd be over the moon if we don't see him again this year. If that's his decision, I'm fine with that.
I'm not so sure he's actually been in the water at all. So he's actually having a break, which is obviously what he needed. There was so much stress and so much pressure put on him at Tokyo. The fact that, I know, he's being compared to Phelps, which is madness anyway. And the fact that he came away with 5 golds is just incredible. So he actually did perform under all that pressure. And it's obviously got to him, I assume, I'm guessing. It's got to him a little bit and he just needs a little bit of time away from the pool. If he needs a year out, he needs a year out. It's not a problem.
Other names, I think world records will go from Milak. I think Leon Machard will get very close to the 400 IM world record. Whether he actually gets it, my head still can't get around that. But he might. He really might. And then a star of the short course scene, Jordan Crooks. Now, the 50 freestyle short course, his turn was outstanding. So whether he can translate that over to a 50 freestyle long course, I don't know. I still think Ben Proud can get the better of him. But it's a new name. It's a very exciting new name in the sprinting scene to very much keep an eye on. And you'd know me, Dan. I love a 50 freestyle.
Yeah, I mean, his turn's just incredible. It's being compared to Dressel with the underwater work that he does. The fact that he uses more body undulation than Dressel does, and Dressel uses a lot. And it clearly works for him. I mean, Cayman Islands swimmer is absolutely incredible. So, yes, it depends whether he can take those underwaters from short course to the start of a 50-meter swim long course. But then you've got Ben Proud, who's actually, I still think, the second best starter ever, I think, behind Dressel. So it depends what Jordan Crooks can do long course. You say you can't get your head around the world record for Liam Machard in the 400 IM. I still can't get my head around, I don't think I ever will until I see it, David Popovich in the 200 free getting that world record. The splits just don't work in my head. I just don't think it's possible. Again, I'd love to see it. But I actually think Machard's got a great chance of getting that 400 IM world record. If he can maintain that breaststroke that he did split-wise at Worlds, and then he can, I don't know, hold on that front crawl. I know Phelps had a very strong front crawl at the end, but if he can, I don't know, a little bit more conditioning, I guess, or that his turns are great. So I don't know if he's he's just got to hold on that a little bit more stamina, endurance, whatever it takes. But I think he's going to be close, if not guess it. That's how I think he's going to do it.
Let's go bold predictions time then. So what world records are falling in 2023? Stick your neck out.
Okay. I'm just going to do it. Let's go for the women first. I think the 200 free is really under threat for the women. When you've got Titmus. Okay, I'm going to Titmus. Titmus is going to get it. I think she's going to get it. And that's a really tough
Pellegrini's record, isn't it?
Yeah, 152.9 or something like that. So she's going to have to go sub 153, obviously. Because of the massive showdown of Ledecky, Titmus and McIntosh, I think the 400 free for the women is also going to go. It went last year. Titmus got it. I think one of those, maybe Titmus again, gets that. I've already spoken about Rooster in the 50 breaststroke. Well, it could be. She's getting better ever since her move. So it could be any one of them. Summer's getting better, obviously, as she gets older and gets more mature, and strength comes with the height and the frame, whatever. It could be her that breaks it. I've already spoken about the 50 breaststroke in Ruta, and I've already spoken about Tori Husk and 100 fly. I think there's going to be four individual world records for the women this year. This, I'm not counting relays because I assume relays go quite regularly.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some... That 200 freestyle, the women's side, Pellegrini swim, for me, is underrated as one of the best swims of all time.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. Gosh, yeah.
So
for that
to go...
That's my boldest one. I think the other three are not nailed on, but have a better chance of breaking. But the bold one is the 200 free, definitely.
Do you reckon the 200 breaststroke could go? Women's side?
Potentially. Yeah, but I haven't seen Schoonmaker race for a while. I think she raced at Commies, but she didn't actually... I don't know. Maybe, potentially. I mean, if she hits a PB, it's a world record. So you never know, do you? You never know.
It's a long shot. Long shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Male side then, Dan. Come on, which one's on here?
Oh, well, I've stuck my neck out, but I'll do it again. The men's 100 free, is Popovich going to get a PB? I would say yes. I think he'll probably do it again by maybe the smallest of margins, 0.01, 0.02, pretty much the same time, but he gets it. I think the men's 50 backstroke, Hunter Armstrong will do the same thing as what we did last year. Maybe Ryan Murphy has something to say about that, but Hunter Armstrong is a pretty good 50 backstroke swimmer. Men's 100 fly and 200 fly, I think Milak will get the 200 fly again, but will he get Dressels? I'm going to go with yes. I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to get both of them.
Yeah,
he's a fly monster.
I was leaning towards yes.
I mean, we saw him come back at Dressel on that final 50 meters when they raced at Worlds. And if he can go out that slight bit faster and then come back that strong using his prowess and the 200 fly with that endurance and stamina, then I think the 100 fly world record also goes. He's only 0.1, 0.2 off it. I think he gets that as well. I mean, a 200 fly is the most guaranteed world record to go, I would say. Would you agree?
Mm. Yeah, I would.
Out of 100%. All of them. Does he go sub 150, though? That's the question.
I'll say he saves it for Paris.
Okay. I mean, I'd love to see it anytime.
It's not... Save it for Paris, sorry. I think the change in time zone, traveling all the way to the other side of the world, has a lot to do with it. We saw at Tokyo, there weren't actually that fast time swum. So I reckon he saves it for Paris, which is in the same time zone as Hungary. It's like a home swim for him. I think that's where it happens, personally. But I still think he gets a world record this year.
I mean, that's what the training blocks will be targeting, obviously, Paris. Mm. So that's where you expect your biggest times to be hit. I think maybe he gets it at both meets. Maybe he gets it at Worlds and then he breaks it at Paris again. Who knows? But I think that's the one world record that's most guaranteed and the most likely to hit. Any other bold ones you want to throw out there?
Is it crazy to suggest the men's 1500?
Well, listen, if Palcineri can do what he did last time and be 3 or 4 seconds ahead after 100 meters, then he's always got a chance, hasn't he? But that last 100-meter split is rapid. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm just thinking the strength of the field that is coming through now. Mm. And they are all going to go out Palcineri speed after seeing what he's just done.
Yeah, potentially.
I just want Sun Yang's records off the books, really. I don't think it's going to go. I don't think that's going to go. That's punchy.
It's unlikely. I think that's a fantasy one that for you that you want to hit, I think. But that's a difficult one. How about the men's 100 backstroke? Do you reckon Chekhov will get it again? Get a PB? Or was his race near perfect?
Yeah, I think it was near perfect. And it was that thinking. The one in Rome?
That was the one in Rome, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the Rome is a fast pool.
Yeah, the pool is good.
I would, like, when you look back at the men's 100 free, David Popovich, I would slightly argue careful of the pool he swam that world record in, because it is known to be a very, very fast pool.
Yeah, my thinking with Chekhov is that, because I did a race review of that race, and it just looked like it was perfect from the word go. I mean, the start looks as best as it could be. The swim speed looks as good as it could be. Kept a hard body position the whole time. It was a flat finish, which I think is the best way to do it. And that's the reason why he broke Murphy's record by 0.25, which was massive at the time.
It is. I would say Murphy has very much looked like he's coming back to the best form he's ever been in. So is there a chance he gets there?
Yeah, I'd love to see it. The shootout between those two is going to be incredible, isn't it? I'd again love to see it. He's got the better reactions, so he's going to be in the lead, I would say, after the first 15-25.
I'll tell you what. So pin this here for 18 months time. The world record in the 100 back goes at the relay of the 4x1 medley in Paris.
Okay, to who?
I'm not predicting that bit.
Oh, I don't want to be that bold.
I think it goes then. Okay. It will go to Murphy then.
Ooh, blimey. That's difficult. I think there's a chance of them getting the world record, but I just think that swim that Chekhov did was so close to being perfect that it's going to take something, not a miracle, but it's going to take something very, very special to break it. That's all I've got for it. And the medley relay is always a special race, especially at the Olympics, isn't it? So maybe it's done then.
I think America might even need him to go that fast, given how well Italy are swimming right now.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. They're doing very, very well.
Okay, Dan, that just about rounds up our 2023 swimming preview. Hopefully it turns out to be another brilliant year for British swimming and propulsion swimming as a whole. We will be back next week with a recently retired British swimmer who's got one hell of a story to tell. I'm really looking forward to sharing that with everyone. But until then, Dan, we will see everyone in 7 days' time.
Yeah, thanks for watching and listening, everyone. We'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.